Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, throughout history, people have always striven to be successful. Most often, this success has some aspect of money associated with it. And although it would seem that money is certainly tied to success, is money all there is to it? Talk to us today about true success.
Well, we're going to get to money, but last century, the late pastor general of the old Worldwide Church of God, Herbert W. Armstrong, wrote a booklet called The Seven Laws of Success. And I'd like to read a few things that he put in there. He says, why are only the very few, women as well as men, successful in life? And just what is success? Here's a surprising answer to life's most difficult problem, proving no human needs to ever become a failure. All who have succeeded have followed seven laws of success. The only way to success is not a copyrighted formula being sold. You can't buy it for any price. He says, ever consider the fact there could be a reason so many people make a failure of life? Not only men and career women, but also wives and mothers, too. Now, are you wrestling with the problem of making ends meet? Nearly all of us are. That doesn't mean failure, but it can lead to it. It's a fact, according to him, that the vast majority do wind up as failures, yet no one needs to fail. You know, one problem we've got in the world is that suicides, he says, outnumber murders. And you know that's only an extreme. The overwhelming majority of people live their lives as failures. And he said, commented that, you know, much of the world's current prosperity, yet scores of millions daily allow for the creeping cancer of failure to chain them into a life of unhappy circumstances from which only death promises release.
It would seem both success and failure would be equally distributed throughout society. Why is failure so commonplace and success so elusive?
Well, there's definite causes. You know, people act like life is random, but it's not, because you really can be successful. You know, a wise person will consider life and setting proper goals for their life. Of course, you know, some people want a lot of money. Some people want to be Olympic athletes, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, regarding money, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6, the Apostle Paul was inspired to write, now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and clothing, with these we should be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, mm-hmm. from which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through many sorrows.
Is this verse telling us that the desire for wealth, as the sole determining factor for success, is the path to failure?
In various ways, certainly it is. You know, money's not going to help you in the next life. And it could definitely be a hindrance to you in this one. Now, I mentioned about being an athlete. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24, the Apostle Paul was inspired to write, do you not know that those who run a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may attain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they, that's talking about other athletes, they do it for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. You know, physical goals and accomplishments are temporary. Now, back to Herbert Armstrong's book, he wrote the first law. Certainly nothing is in life is more important than to know what real success is and how to attain it. So he said, what's the first law of success? He says, I'm not considering general principles here, such as honesty, patience, loyalty, courtesy, dependability, punctuality, etc. But the reality is even some who are honest haven't practiced the various laws of success specifically. Mm-hmm. You know, you could be loyal, patient, courteous, and still be unsuccessful because you're not following the way that leads to success. So he says, what's the first law of success? Fix the right goal. Not just any goal. Most successful men he knew, he said, had goals. They drove themselves for the accomplishment. But making money, gaining status, enjoying the pleasures of the five senses, etc., basically leads to a history of fears, worries, heartaches, troubled consciences, sorrows, and death. Now, some people have had certain types of success and enjoyed things, but you really want to go for true success. The right goal is what we need to have, and we need to define success. You know, most people says go through life without any goal, and you need to have a goal. Most people don't even think about having a purpose of life. They're not going anywhere in particular. So, for example, if you saved up money for a trip to Europe or Asia or something, you might be excited. You plan it. You have a definite destination. That's your goal. Okay? But if you didn't plan for it, how do you expect you're going to get there? He says, most people have no aim. They're merely victims of circumstance. They haven't planned purposely to be in their job or occupation. They don't live where they do by choice because they planned it that way. They've just been kind of moved around, affected by circumstances. They've allowed themselves to drift. They made no effort to become the master in control of circumstances. He says the first law of success is to fix the right goal, not any goal. The right goal will arouse ambition. Mm-hmm. Ambition is more than desire. It's desire plus incentive, determination to obtain that. There should be an overpowering purpose of life. If you've ever known the purpose, people going throughout centuries, they didn't know it. You had people like Socrates and Plato and Augustine, and they had various ideas, but they didn't know what it was. And if you know what the purpose is, then you can set that as a goal. You know, what is there to live for? So he says, I repeat, the first law of real success is to have the right goal. Men I've described and rated eminently successful in the world all had goals, but they're failing to have the right goal, so their success was fleeting.
The right goal, the first law of success, and the imperishable crown Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians all seem to be directed to the purpose we were put here on earth. Give us some direction to that purpose.
Well, God's purpose for you is to become the best you can be so you can give love in a unique way to make eternity better for yourself and everyone else. And we have a free ebook on that. It's available at ccug.org, Mysteries of God's Plan. Why did God create anything? Why did God make you? Now, that said, Jesus himself pointed to the Christian's need to have the right goal. In Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 31, he says, look, don't worry about what you eat, drink, etc. Others worry about that, but God knows you need these. Verse 33, here's the goal. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, Jesus said that his people would pray, and that's one of the ways to seek first the kingdom of God, to start off your day with prayer. Wisdom and understanding, which the Bible also advocates in Proverbs, are also appropriate goals. Wisdom's important. For example, says in Proverbs chapter 4, starting verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she'll preserve you. Love her, and she'll keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and all you're getting, get understanding. And this is something that the Bible says you can do. New Testament says, if you lack wisdom, ask God. Mm-hmm. So it's something you should have. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes 10:10, wisdom brings success. Now, Christians should work, by the way, and get their priorities in order. I want to read something else from Proverbs. Proverbs 24, verse 27. Prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house. Now, in the New Testament, we're also encouraged to do physical work. For example, Paul wrote, 2 Thessalonians 3, starting verse 10, as I was with you, I commanded you, if you won't work, you shouldn't eat. He says, some of you are busybodies. We command you and exhort you through our Lord Jesus Christ to work and eat your own bread. And not only are you supposed to work for yourself, but it says in 1 Timothy 5:8, if you don't provide for your household, you've denied the faith and you're worse than an unbeliever. So having a goal to make a proper livelihood certainly is biblical. Now, you might think at your age it's too late. And you could be wrong. I like to tell the story of Harlan Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken guy. After he retired, he didn't know what to do. He failed at a bunch of businesses, but he kept going and ended up having the most famous face on earth by the time he died. Anyway, don't limit God because of your age or your education or whatever. You know, it says in Isaiah 59, starting in verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear."
That's good advice. I am seeking first the kingdom of God. I'm praying for wisdom and understanding. And I'm probably the same age or a little older than Colonel Sanders. And I'm still working. What's next?
Well, realize that Apostle Paul was inspired to write in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that doesn't just apply to Paul, but to you as well. You know, maybe you'll be one who'll be supporting the work of God in an outwardly obvious way, or perhaps in ways no one sees. Yet, remember, Paul also is inspired to write in Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 10. "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you've shown toward his name, and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promises." And as far as being used when you're older, you know, Moses didn't begin to lead Israel until he was 80.
Okay, I'm not as old as Moses, but are these verses saying, and is what you are suggesting, is that to aid in obtaining that imperishable crown, I should support the work of God?
Yes. And as far as going back to aging, and by the way, these laws apply, success apply to young people. As far as aging goes, in Luke chapter 2, we've got this example starting verse 36. So there's this one, Anna. She was a prophetess. All right. She was from the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. And she was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but she served God with fastings and prayer night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him, all this, to all those who look for the redemption in Jerusalem. Now, I want to comment. This doesn't say that Anna was able to see Jesus, which she was, by the way, because she was a prophetess. No, but because she was serving God with prayer and fasting. And there's another example, Mark chapter 12, starting verse 41. Jesus was in the treasury, saw how much money people were throwing in. Some of the rich put in a lot. This poor woman comes by. She throws in two mites, which is hardly not anything. And he calls his disciples and says to them, "Assuredly, I say to you this, poor widow has put in more than all who gave to the treasury. They put all out of their abundance, but she of her poverty put out what she had." So anyway, yeah, you should seek God's kingdom. It should be your goal, and you'll succeed, whether you're rich or poor, young or old. Mm-hmm. Setting the right goal or goals is important. Otherwise, what you do is just vanity, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. Anyway, as I mentioned before, you know, you might wonder, why did God create anything? Well, the answer is God created what he did so eternity would be better. Why did God create you? The answer is God created you so you could, once you've truly accepted him and are resurrected, you'll be able to give love in a unique way to make eternity better for yourself and everyone else. Since eternal life with God will be fantastic beyond human understanding, remember to seek first the kingdom of God. While you can have physical goals like education, career, or spouse, don't neglect the right goal. Anyway, we've got a free book, Mystery of God's Plan. You want to be an eternal success? Choose the right goal.
To be able to give love in a totally unique way in the resurrection of the saints would certainly be the pinnacle of success. Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.